Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 724. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here. With an annual rite of spring in the lounge, every year we endeavor to put together a Triple Crown preview, most usually in the form of a modified fantasy draft for these purposes, and we're doing that again this year with some of the participants we've used in the past. We are very fortunate to have a couple of the finest railbirds in all the country here under our own banner. Nice to be able to do something like this in-house. We have augmented with other media in the past, but this year we're staying in-house for it. We've got on the phone lines first my good friend Steve Callis, FDH Lounge dignitary, a longtime one from New York. You can, of course, catch his show regularly on thestn.net. He also, of course, makes appearances on many New York media outlets regularly, WFAN, SNY, etc. A man who is at the intersection of sports, ethics, and the law, my good friend, Steve Callis. Steve, welcome back to the program, my friend. Good to have you on today.
Great to be with you, Rick. Happy to talk horse racing.
Absolutely. It's always a lot of fun to get into this with you every year. And we have a very interesting lineup going into this year's Kentucky Derby. Maybe not the overwhelming favorite of last year with American Pharoah, who, again, was kind of the horse to beat from day one of the Triple Crown and proceeded to live all the way up to that first Triple Crown since 1978. But an intriguing field nonetheless with Nyquist seemingly at the head of it right now.
Absolutely. As you probably know, I'm not going to certainly pick Nyquist to win, but I think he will be the favorite, and I think he might be even lower than 3-1. There's, you know, obviously 20 horses in the race, and there's a lot of value throughout the field to me once you get past Nyquist, and I'll certainly get past Nyquist.
Yeah, well, spoiler alert on that one, as it turns out. I did the draw for position just before we went on here. You're not going to get Nyquist anyways because I am in the number one position. You are number two. And good friend Bob Glassman, fellow FDH Lounge dignitary, is picking third. So neither one of you guys is going to get a shot at Nyquist. It certainly doesn't hurt matters, again, with his excellent pedigree and everything else like that. It's very, very unusual for something like this, Steve, where there's actually any kind of other sentimental attachment to a horse on top of that, such as the one that I have in this instance, given that Nyquist, again, for anybody out there wondering, thinking that it rings a bell, yes, the horse is named after Red Wing star Gustav Nyquist because, again, the owner is a big fan of the Red Wings. So I'm going to go first off the board here, take Nyquist with a hearty let's go Red Wings. Certainly there's a lot to back up my selection beyond that. You're looking at the fact that he's racing from number 13, a pretty nice perch for him here. He won from 13, of course, in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, 7-0 lifetime. He's won from kind of all over the track. And from some of the stuff I was seeing, some of the analysis on NBCSN, they were also talking about his ability to win even when he's running wide. He's kind of hung out there a couple times on the turn, such that the trainer had kind of said, okay, well, who else do we have in this race? And then he comes back to win. So he's shown an excellent ability to recover that he may or may not need in any of the next three races.
Can I give you my negatives on Nyquist, or do you want me to pick a horse to win the Derby?
Well, I'm not trying to purely propagandize here, Steve, so go ahead. Give me the full, a well-rounded picture.
In the history of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, which is now 30 years, only Street Sense has won both the Juvenile at 2 and the Kentucky Derby at 3. Of course, Nyquist did win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, so frankly, to me, that's a problem. I'm kind of an old-timer when I look at this stuff. I certainly like to see the horses I like at least work out. If they haven't raced at Churchill Downs, I'd like to see them at least work out at Churchill Downs prior to the Derby. You don't want to hear after the race, my horse just couldn't grab the track. And usually if you have any shoeing issues, you want to go over the track before the Derby. And both horses that I like, that we'll get to in a minute, have worked out there. But, of course, Nyquist is over at Keeneland. I don't know if they want to keep him away from the crowds at the Derby, which are gigantic, or, you know, the press is all generally at Churchill Downs as opposed to Keeneland. But he has not worked out at the Derby and will not. Maybe he'll go over the track, you know, on Friday, but he has had his workouts over at Keeneland. To me, that's an issue. He's only had two starts this year. Now, you know, the connections of Nyquist also had I'll Have Another, so they know the drill, and they've won the Derby. But generally speaking, it's rare for a horse to have only two starts this in his three-year-old year before the Derby, although, again, I'll Have Another did it just a few years ago. Finally, Dosage Index is kind of a lost art. I still give it a little credibility. 10, 15 years ago was everything. But the Dosage Index, which, of course, you know, Rick, is a number based on your pedigree as to whether you can get the distance or not of a mile and a quarter. And you don't know who can get the distance here because none of these horses have raced a mile and a quarter. You can only go on pedigree and what they've done so far. Generally speaking, you need a number under 4.0 to get the distance, and Nyquist has a very high 7.0 dosage index. That's the second highest in the field of 20. So those are the best. I can go into a little. We don't know. This is Uncle Mo's first crop. Uncle Mo was a great racehorse, but never actually won at a mile and a quarter. He got scratched before the Kentucky Derby. He did race once in the Breeders' Crown Classic at a mile and a quarter. He finished 10th, but that would be unfair to Uncle Mo. He just wasn't 100%. So Uncle Mo has three in the race. This is his first crop to be three-year-old, so we don't know if the Uncle Mo's can get the distance either. Those would be my reasons not to bet the favorite.
Well, and those are all very valid reasons, I have to point out as well. Something that I'd like to get your sense on, additionally, from hearing some of the chatter from the Nyquist camp, is a little bit of concern in terms of the way that the draw went vis-a-vis the positioning and the fact that some of the speed in the race, especially the early speed, looks like it's going to be on the outside, and they're afraid of sort of getting drawn into something maybe prematurely. You may have an instance where the jockey may be having to choke the horse a little bit early on to kind of keep him back. How do you think that might play out?
Well, yeah, that's absolutely a problem because normally you'd like to be the last one to the lead, but Dancing Candy, who is the major speed in the race, he drew the 20. He's got Mike Smith. They've already announced they're blasting out for the lead. Not that that's a newsflash or anything, but it can hurt a horse like Nyquist because, again, going a mile and a quarter the first time, you don't want to use your speed too much early on. Now, Nyquist can also race right off the lead, and I assume that's going to be the plan, but if he has to blast out of there to get position, unlike, for example, a couple of other horses, one of whom I like, who is not going to be on or near the lead early, that's potentially, frankly, an issue, because there is even other speed outside of Nyquist, but Dancing Candy is the main speed, and the reason I don't like him, frankly, is because he has the 20. He's not a handy horse like Nyquist, and he's going to have to, I think, blast to the lead, and by definition, to me, that means the first half is going to be very fast.
Well, yeah, 20 is very, very tough to come out of and really make any kind of noise substantively here at the end. I have to say, additionally, though, that for as much chatter as there has been about the fact that nobody's ever won from 17, 20 is the one where, again, because to me, you know, you can look at precedent, and some of the stuff you cited with precedent with Nyquist, I think much of what you cited was right on the money. But when you start getting into something like nobody's ever won from 17, that's just almost something that seems overdue to change, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but you're talking, again, I don't know, you know, in the old days, if you look at the real history of the Derby, I don't think they had 15 and 20 horses. I'm sure there were a lot of 17s.
Ooh, good point.
Sure there are a lot of 17s, but I almost think that's a numerical anomaly. So if the horse was in the 17, if he was in the 16 or the 18, he'd have a better chance than he would if he was in the 17. That I don't believe. But having said that, if you're looking at 20 horses and More Spirit, who has a 17, he is a nice horse. If you're looking at those kinds of things, you're looking – you know, for reasons to throw horses out. So I've given you a bunch, in my opinion, for Nyquist, but the horse I'm going to give you, should I give you the horse I like now? Because you can give
go
me
right ahead.
Reasons.
You're up next.
Hey,
yeah.
You can give me some reasons why you could, I could give you some reasons why you could throw him out. But I like number 11. I like number 11, Exaggerator. He is the second favorite because he won a monstrous race in the Santa Anita Derby. Kent DeSormo is the jock, and his brother Keith is the trainer. Now, Kent DeSormo has won, you know, he's won three Kentucky Derbies. He won with Real Quiet. He won with Fusaichi Pegasus. He won with Big Brown. So this guy's been around a long time. When you start to look at breeding, and we did a little bit with the dosage index on Nyquist, well, Exaggerator has the right dosage index, but I'm more impressed by the fact that he's by Curlin. And Curlin, you'll recall, years ago, he won the Preakness. He won the Breeders' Cup Classic. He got beat ahead in the Belmont at a mile and a half. He's also been a very good sire. His Palace Malice won the Belmont a couple years ago, you might recall. So he's clearly a horse that looks like he can get the distance. Even Keen Ice, who's also by Curlin, you might remember, beat American Pharoah in the Travis last year after American Pharoah won the Triple Crown. So he certainly has the license to go the distance. My concern is he went a monster race on a sloppy track, and some people view that to be a negative. But I have to say, I thought that was his coming of age race. And if you watch that race, and I encourage all the listeners, you know, to watch the Santa Anita Derby, to watch Nyquist in the Florida Derby, to watch these races, the move that he made is a monstrous move. Some people say the time was slow. My answer to that is, A, it was on a sloppy track, and B, don't even watch him in the stretch when he draws off by six. Watch the move he makes around the turn when he makes up like 8 or 9 lengths around the turn in a quarter of a mile. So I don't know how fast he went that quarter because it wasn't the last quarter, but he went an absolute gorilla mile. The one other thing I'll give you on Exaggerator is that in the history of the Beyer speed figures, which I am a believer in, many people are, some aren't, but the Beyer speed figures have been out since 1991, and of the 25 derbies prior to this Saturday, 7 horses with the highest Beyer speed figure in the prior race won the derby. Exaggerator has the highest speed figure, 103 in the slop, of any horse in this race, and even his races before that, some of which he won, some of which he lost, he had very high Beyer speed figures. So I'm a believer in that as well.
That's all very interesting, and you raise a lot of very good points. I don't have a lot to say to the contrary on any of that. This is a horse that I've read that a lot of people think of as kind of a blue-collar lunch bucket kind of a horse as far as his approach to getting through here. Kent DeSormo, the jockey, has been quoted, I guess, this week as saying that, I remember we were talking before about the early speed, that we're going to have him hang back. He's going to be so far back. So they're basically going to try, interestingly enough, in the home city, I believe, of Muhammad Ali, to try to replicate the rope-a-dope strategy here. Do you find that at all concerning? Yeah, how about that reference there?
Yes, actually.
How about that?
No, that is. That's a good knock on him. He clearly is not a horse that goes for the lead. In fact, he lags behind. Again, if you go watch his last race, he's lagging behind literally 12, 15 lengths. And it was a very fast pace. But what I'm hoping for is the 11 isn't too bad. You know, he's got obviously 9 horses to his right, 10 to his left. I think he'll get down to the rail quickly and save. And then again, if you watch his races, you'll see he does kind of a Calvin Burrell up the rail. If Kent DeSormo can find that room up the rail, I think he's going to have the ability to pass a lot of horses inside and then maybe hopefully not be 4 wide in the first turn and 4 wide in the last turn, but may be able to come out and blast out around the last turn and really make one run. But, yeah, that's and that is one of the big knocks on him. But, frankly, Rick, people thought Exaggerator couldn't go around 2 turns, and given his first eight starts where he did have 3 wins, they thought he just couldn't get the distance, and it wasn't a breeding thing, as we've talked about with Curlin. But clearly he proved in the Santa Anita Derby, again, on a slide, track, that he could do it. And if you watch the ground he makes up, again, people say, oh, that last quarter wasn't very fast, but if you watch the ground he makes up in the final turn, it'll be a stunning move to you. And it was in the slop. People will say, well, if it rains, I like him, and that's a good point. But now I think that race makes him come of age, and I think he's going to be fine on a fast track where he's raced well in the past. But yeah, being way back in the Derby is not a plus.
Yeah, and his performance in the Santa Anita Derby, of course, bringing back thoughts of that old Seinfeld reference, his mutter was a mutter, because, yeah, this horse clearly is a mutter. It doesn't look like we're going to get mud
right
on Saturday in Louisville, but, you know, again, has the track record to show that he can be impressive, I think, on drier tracks as well. We come to Bob Glassman here, and I am going to be picking for him off of a list that he had sent in. Pending his availability to join later in the show, we're going to be doing that. By the way, I'm a little bit remiss in mentioning this part of it here vis-a-vis the format of our little competition. We're going to go four rounds on this thing here. Per a suggestion from Bob, and I think you're going to like this one, Steve, we're going to weight the Derby a little bit more heavily this year because, again, for the Preakness and the Belmont, it's kind of a blank slate right now. We're going to get some other horses that jump in later on. We're going to get some that don't go all the way on this.
Right.
So per Bob's suggestion, we're going to go 20-13-7 on win, place, show in the Derby, 15-10-5 in both the Preakness and the Belmont. So that's to try and give a little bit more equity to the race where we kind of know what's going on. We see everything right in front of us. We have the field ready as we're going to be picking it. And the first of the two selections that Bob is going to go with is More Spirit. And this is a horse that, again, second place or better in his seven starts. A very, very strong career thus far. Bob Baffert at the helm. Going to have Greg Stevens in there. So it's a horse that, again, pedigree-wise, in terms of what he's got behind him organizationally, if you want to use that term, is very strong. So I kind of see where Bob's coming from with this one.
Absolutely, and I he'd be on my short list if we're going to talk about boxes or gambling at the end, whether you want to box triples or superfectas.
Yeah.
Certainly I'll have More Spirit in there for exactly the reasons that were just said. I mean, you know, Baffert with five derbies, Stevens with, I think, three. And this horse, the reason I do like him, and he will be, and again, if you go watch the Santa Anita Derby, and after you've watched Exaggerator, watch More Spirit, because in the Santa Anita Derby, they went to the half in 45 in a piece. That's really, really fast and on a sloppy track, and they came home slower. But the reason I like More Spirit is because he kind of left out of there and was with the leaders early on. And as you know, if you're on the lead in or close to the lead in a very fast half, usually at the end you're going the other way. In this race, he was the one horse who was close to the lead. And close to the lead, I mean four or five lengths off. He wasn't on the lead. But he was the only horse going forward at the end, and that's why he was able to close for second. Couldn't threaten Exaggerator, but again, a knock on Exaggerator, even though I picked him, is that these fractions set up for him perfectly, and frankly, that's what I'm hoping in the Derby. But if you watch More Spirit, you'll see that he left out of there, was within four or five lengths of the leader in a very fast half, and then when they turn for home, he's the one that gets out and finishes second, even though he got beat six and a half lengths or whatever. And plus, you have, you know, arguably such a top combination, Baffert and Stevens. So, yeah, I like that pick. I probably would have got to him second or third if I had gotten the chance.
Yeah, Bob's going to have a strong two here because going the way that we do this with a standard serpentine style in a draft, he is, of course, the first of us that gets to get his second selection, and he gets to go back-to-back here, end of the first round, start of the second round. His next pick is going to be a horse that I know he feels is a little bit undervalued as far as how people are viewing it right now, and that would be Mohamed, which has had, again, an ugly race in, I believe it was the Florida Derby, but 5-0 before that, and lineage including Secretariat and Seattle Slough, both Triple Crown winners, which, of course, kind of puts me in mind of that kid that Steffi Graf and Andre Agassi had. So, you know, when you're talking about those kind of genes there, that is something special. So Mohamed is definitely a horse that everybody needs to be looking for on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I'm disappointed he picked those two because I would have taken either one with my second pick. But Mohamed, to me, I was trying to pick for a win to be between Exaggerator and Mohamed. And when I watched the Florida Derby, where, you know, that was the big undefeated horses, Nyquist against Mohamed, when I watched that and I watched it live, I said to myself, You do not throw Mohamed out because of this race. And again, if people watch these races, you can watch Nyquist. He goes to the lead. He stays on the lead and he wins. But watch Mohamed. He's four wide on the first turn. He makes an absolutely gigantic move where he's three and four wide on the final turn, actually loops the field to get head-to-head with Nyquist, and then flattens out in the stretch. And the reason I pick Exaggerator before Mohamed, because in my opinion, he moved very early in that race. Maybe the jock thought he had to, but he moved very early. But again, that race is only, you know, a mile and an eighth, so he has to do everything he did and go another quarter mile. But I think this time the jock will tell, you know, the trainer will tell the jock, I don't want you moving that early, because that was a death move. And again, if you watch the race, he got to Nyquist at the top of the stretch, then Nyquist drove on to win easily, and Mohamed faded to fourth. But I did not think that was a terrible race at all. People were disappointed because he was undefeated, but he did not get a good trip, and I absolutely think he has a chance to win. In fact, one of my gambling suggestions was going to be to bet Exaggerator, Mohamed, everybody in triples, and also Mohamed, Exaggerator, and everybody in triples, because I think with Nyquist either third or out of the triple, those numbers will be big numbers, even though those horses will be 8, 10, 12 to 1.
I think those are very good points. We move to your second pick here, Steve.
You've I don't know, you just read my second. You just read my second and third picks.
All right, let me rephrase that. The second one you're going to get successfully
right
here. You got Exaggerator.
Right.
Who are you going to pair him with in the second round?
I'm going to pair him with Creator, who's inside. He's got the three. Asmussen, who is just you know, elected to the Hall of Fame. He's an excellent trainer. He's got two in, but I like Creator as the better of the two, Gunrunner. The other horse has the five. I don't think they race as an entry in the Derby. I think they're owned separate. So these horses will be much higher. See, I think Nyquist is going to be the big favorite, but Exaggerator is going to take some money. I think Mohamed will take some money. I think More Spirit will take some money. But when you get to these other horses now, I think they're going to go up rather than down. So I like Creator as a long shot. And since I have to pick a second pick here and it can't be Mohamed or More Spirit, it actually might have been good to pick third in this, Rick, because now you don't get to pick till sixth. But I will take Creator as my second pick.
It's a good solid pick there for you. And again, you picking in the middle, you're the only guy in this thing that doesn't get to go back to back on any of your picks. And again, in all of the fantasy drafts we've done over a period of time, I know at our senior editor Jason Jones feels like nobody has ever been scooped the way that he has repeatedly here, but a couple of years, of course, going off the board there. Before that, I'm going to give you the first of my two picks here, end of the second round, start of the third round. I'm going to go with the number five horse, Gunrunner, who you just mentioned a second ago here,
right.
4-1 lifetime, 151 points in the prep races, so if that matters to you, he's the leader out of all the horses tallying points coming into this one here, so end of the second round, that feels like pretty good value to me.
You get no argument from me. I think the Asmussen horses are both close, and I think they're both live, so certainly, and he's a now Hall of Fame trainer, so I think he certainly has a chance.
Yeah, I would think so, and I'm going to go with one that's for my third pick that is a little far to the outside for my taste, but one that I think has at least a decent chance of finishing in the money here. And this is not, again, notwithstanding the fact that I know that Nyquist is named after Red Wing star Gustav Nyquist. I don't know for sure that Brody's Cause is named after legendary 70s and 80s wrestler Bruiser Brody, which would only increase my esteem for him. I don't know that one. I'm just laying it out there. But nevertheless, whether he is named for him or not, that's going to be my third round pick. And, again, not a real good start in the Tampa Bay Derby, but coming down a little bit better in the Bluegrass. And so, again, a horse that's had its ups and downs, but you're going to have that as we now move into the back half of the draft.
Yeah, well, I really think he's hurt by the 19. If he was inside, he'd get much more action than he's going to get. But I certainly think he's a good selection. He won the Bluegrass. That's a grade one. A lot of horses have won the Bluegrass and then won the Derby. I just, and horses have won from that auxiliary gate, as you know, 15 and out. They have won from out there. I just think 19 is just a little too far, as I think, you know, the other real good horse, the 20, you know, Dancing Candy, I think he'd be much more alive if he were inside as well. So very good horse, very tough post.
He's going to need everything to go right, no question about it. I see that we have Bob on the phone lines here. We will get to him after your pick here, after your third-round selection. Who are you going to pair with Exaggerator and Creator?
Can't we ask Bob if he wants to withdraw either More Spirit or Mohamed? Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm going to pick, and now you're getting low on my depth chart, but I'm going to go with I'm going to go with number 9, Destin, who was a very good winner in the Tampa Bay Derby. He even got knocked around. Now, that's a grade two, so obviously he's stepping up with the big boys now. But I will say his buyers in his last two races have been very good. They were both only a mile and a 16th, although, again, he was going forward in both at the end. So as my third pick, because I have to pick a third pick, I'll pick Destin, number 9.
All right. You'll go with him for you in that spot here. Before we bring on Bob, we'll just do a quick recap here so he can hear how this went thus far. I started things off with Nyquist. You, Steve, then went with Exaggerator in the first round. And the two top picks off of the list that Bob submitted to me ahead of time, More Spirit and Mohamed, were his first two slots there. As we go back through the Serpentine draft second round, you, Steve, ending up with Creator. I then went Gunrunner and Brody's Cause. You just select Destin with this pick here, and we come back to Bob for his third round end selection and beginning of the fourth round selection. First, we'll get his thoughts on what's happened thus far. How you doing today, Bob?
I think we had a little bit of a pass post, but owe that to a specific company that we will not talk about. But good to be with everybody. Steve, always a pleasure. As usual, the year's treated me a tad roughly, and no matter what I do, no matter what I observe, what I take, what I bet, the results are the same, but we're going to go for a change here on Derby Saturday, and I believe in coming up to me, I'm going to choose a horse that shows that embodies the spirit of most people in Cleveland when they want to try to get out of having to watch the Browns on any given Sunday. Number 15, Outwork.
Okay. Outwork. By the way, thoughts on having the first two of the first four selections here, More Spirit and Mohamed. Both Steve and I seem to think that everything worked out for you pretty good on that, having those ones drop.
I had them as 3 and 7, so that's fine. As good as anything I could have picked, and probably better.
Wow, thanks for breaking kayfabe on me, Bob. That was off of your quote-unquote list. Thanks for breaking kayfabe. All right, well, glad you like one of them anyways. Outwork, okay, that's a pretty good third-round selection here. We're kind of scraping the barrel, so...
I guess maybe having listened to the connections today a little bit, and I think it could be a good horse. A lot of people think he just can go 6 panels or 6 furlongs and will be a little bit of a rabbit for the race. I like the Todd Pletcher name, and he can never go wrong with Mr. Velasquez, but... So that was actually somebody very high on my list, too.
Well, I certainly appreciate you mentioning your qualified enthusiasm for, quote-unquote, your selection there, Bob. So, okay. All right. So moving past that, you're going to start the fourth round for us as well, pairing with More Spirit, Mohamed, and Outwork, the first of the fourth round selections.
Okay, well, we're going to take somebody more of a name horse, somebody I've heard mentioned earlier in the week, a certain friend, whether you pronounce it Laney or Alani, as I would rather, that's what we're going to go with, the import a bit, somebody who hasn't done particularly well, and nobody's got any great... passed over the track, but somebody just for a name, for the sake of a name, I'm going to take it. And Steve, do you know anything about the boy, about the jockey on this horse?
On Laney, Yutakataki, I really don't, except, you know, I know obviously they're all from Japan, but I really don't know much about him. The only thing I did hear about him was not good because I heard, I'm trying to think who it was, I saw just a little bit of a preview show. It might have been Randy Moss who said that he's very bad in the gate, so the 7 and the 9, and I picked the 9 last, as you heard, but they're not going to be too happy because apparently he's unpredictable out of the gate, but certainly has some talent. You know, the problem is, as you know, a lot of these horses come in from the UAE Derby, and they just don't do well in the Kentucky Derby, but certainly has some ability.
And
plus he's a tappet, Bob, and, you know, so you give him a chance, I think.
That's what we're going to try to do to buck trends. And the other thing is, from what I heard in Guantanamo, they would tell people there that you caught a talkie. Okay, very bad. You missed me, didn't you?
Yeah, the code of America doesn't apply, apparently. So, moving to the inside pick here in the final round, Steve, who are you going to pair with Exaggerator, Creator, and Destin?
Yeah, I'm going to go with number 6, My Man Sam. You know, frankly, I'm kind of stretching here, but certainly he came from way back to be second in the Bluegrass, and he had a win and a good buyer number in the start before. So, you know, if I have to pick one fourth, given that you guys have taken, in my view, all the good ones, I'll take number 6, My Man Sam.
Okay. Comes to the end here, and again, we've been saying this, you're really, really starting to reach here at this point. I'm going to take the horse next to the rail here, the number 2 horse, Sudden Breaking News. A horse that at least seems to have decent pedigree for distance, and it has a chance based on his track record of being maybe somewhere around the money anyway. So I'll start with you on this one here, Steve. Thoughts on the Mr. Irrelevant of this draft?
Sudden Breaking News?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, look, like a lot of these horses, including the one I really like, he's kind of a come from behind her, so can he, you know, the old, and we're probably looking for, you know, kind of picking up the pieces at the end of the race. So do I give him a chance from the back to get minor spoils? And by minor spoils, I mean like fourth in a super, maybe third. Yeah, I guess I give him a chance, but, you know, my view of this race is they're going to go a fast first half, and there's going to be 6 or 7 coming from the back. So that would be the best, frankly, that I could say. But he does have a nice late run, and I think in this race that could be helpful.
Okay. Those are some pretty decent thoughts. I'd say pretty close to my own. Bob, any thoughts on either My Man Sam or Sudden Breaking News, the 2 horses, the one after you?
Just a little bit of thought in general. I don't know if it was covered before, but the luck of, or not the luck, well, yes, the luck of Mr. Tom Benson, 30,000, approximately 30,000 horses fold each year, and he has, in his first year, he has 2 of the 20 Derby horses, which you know, I think that's nothing
amazing.
Short of amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's tough to just jump right in, no matter how much money you have behind you, and accomplish something like that. So the teams that we have here, I drafted from the pole position, as it were, at least in the first round, Nyquist, Gunrunner, Brody's Cause, and Sudden Breaking News. Steve with Exaggerator, Creator, Destin, and My Man Sam. Bob with More Spirit, Mohaman, Outwork, and Lonnie. And in looking at this, Steve, we indicated that we're going to take some time here towards the end. I'm going to guess probably predominantly you and Bob as opposed to myself, because you guys are the real experts here. Some thoughts on betting strategies for the race, any kind of exotic wagering that you might like to do, et cetera. So we'll start with you, Steve. Take it away.
Well, the betting strategy for me is it was hard for me to pick between Exaggerator and Mohaman. So although I like Exaggerator to win, I was thinking of betting Exaggerator, Mohaman, everybody in a triple, Mohaman, Exaggerator, everybody. And if that's too much, because you're talking about 18, you know, for a $1 triple, you're talking $18 each way for that. But the other thing I would do if that's too much, I'm thinking of boxing and exactas, triples, and even superfectas. There are 4 horses I like, and unfortunately Bob took 2 of them: Exaggerator, Mohaman, More Spirit, And I would throw in Nyquist as the fourth, again, not because I think he's going to win, but certainly he might, you know, if Danzen Candy can't get there, he might be on or near the lead, Nyquist, and have it not so hard. I think the race is going to be fast up front, so I think he might be able to be there and, you know, hold on for third or fourth. But I'll be surprised if he wins. Now, look, if you like the favorite, and again, the favorites have won the last couple of years, so if you like the favorites, obviously Nyquist is your bet. I would bet those four because I don't think they're going to come in with Nyquist first or second, and I think you'll get some real good numbers. And I think More Spirit is going to go way up. You talked about that nobody's ever won from the 17, Rick. But I think this horse has a chance to win. But again, I like him more for third. I do like Exaggerator, Mohaman Exaggerator. That would be how I would bet this Kentucky Derby.
Interesting. Okay, Bob, I know you've got some exotic thoughts on this, as you have exotic thoughts on every subject, but horse racing in particular, much like the other ones on sports. So when you're looking at wagering strategies for Saturday, what pops into your mind?
Rick, two things. One, I think I've said before, but given a 20-horse field, although, as Steve said, there's been a number of form horses of chalk or close to chalk the last few years, it's so difficult with that kind of field to say that you're going to unload on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be fun, but the number of horses garners the chance of a horse with a little bit of luck able to see the way, although it's been pretty formful the last few years. The other angle, just in general, and I think one that yields to Exaggerator, and earlier today I was trying to do as much of my in-depth weather forecasting as I can, that if the track comes up a little rainy, a little cuppy, a little muddy, I think that really favors Exaggerator, at least with a little bit of a mud preference over his competitors.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree with that, Rick. It's just I think earlier in the week there was a chance, and now they've put off the rain till Sunday, so there's only like a 10%. You know, if I could go out there and spit on the track and it would and make it muddy, I would love to. And I hope Bob's right, and there's like one of those sudden storms. But apparently now that, which had been a chance earlier, you know, 3 or 4 days ago, apparently is now not going to be like that. Although I hope Bob is right and I'm right, because, yeah, of course, Exaggerator will get pounded at the windows if it does rain, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I'll say it again. Bob puts me in mind of Kramer getting a tip about a mutter here with his advocacy of Exaggerator on Saturday. But, yeah, that doesn't mean it's not true. But, yeah, having said that, it's going to be very, very interesting to see. And as far as it goes, my dad and I are actually going to be at a track in Wheeling on Saturday, right about the time this is going on. So we're going to jump on this when we are there. I would think the weather pattern is probably supposed to blow across, more or less, I think, straight from Louisville. And from everything I've been seeing for Saturday, it doesn't look like that's really going to be an issue. So we'll have to see what the weather ends up being like. See if we have any more thoughts from you fellows before we wrap this up. Steve, I'll start with you.
Well, I think that's pretty much I went back and forth between Exaggerator and Mohaman, because I think you're going to get more value on Mohaman because his race, a lot of people think he was terrible in the Florida Derby, and I don't. Nyquist went 47 to the half, very slow, so he was able to run off. Mohaman was 4 wide in the first turn and 4 wide in the last turn. And again, if you watch the replay, he made an unbelievable move around the turn, very hard to do, so of course he flattened out. But to me, he's got to go an additional eighth of a mile, so that's a bit of a problem coming off that race in the Florida Derby. And if I had seen a little more from him, maybe I would have picked him. Exaggerator, you know, some people say, oh, if you get high buyer speed figures in sloppy tracks, that's a little misleading. My answer to that is if you look at his prior 3 or 4 races, he had excellent buyer speed figures in those as well. I think he's just matured enough, so I think he's, even though he's going to get bet more because he drew off on the slop, I think the real smart money, if you will, is going to say, well, he did it in the slop, so I'm not going to bet him. So you still might get some value. I think he can do what he did in the slop. I think he can do what he did now on the fast track, because he went around two turns. The knock on exaggerator was he couldn't go around two turns. And now not only did he go around two turns, they could have gone around again last month, and they wouldn't have beat him in the Santa Anita Derby. So that's how I decided between those two. Again, if Nyquist wins, you know, I just tip my cap and move on, because I won't pick the favorite in the 20-horse race. I think that's bad value almost always. Although I did like Barbaro. I don't know if he was the favorite. He was undefeated, but he did pay 14.20, and that's why I liked him. He was not the morning line favorite in the Derby way back when.
Well, whatever else I do betting-wise Saturday, I will put at least a little something on my horse, Nyquist. Again, let's go Red Wings. So that will be my thought in going into it, my approach. Bob, any closing thoughts from you?
Steve, with what I said earlier, I'm going to play the dichotomy and sort of think it's going to be formful. I can see every reason why Steve would discount, especially on a value sense, the Nyquist. Many reasons that he alluded to earlier as to why to go off of him, not be with him. But I'm gonna box Nyquist, Mohamed, and Exaggerator, which is really a horrible bet. A horrible bet in terms of yield. But
well, I don't know, Bob. You know, with 20 horses in the race, and if Nyquist doesn't win, you know, if he's second or even better third, I think with the other two, you'll still get some good numbers, and certainly that's part of my superfecta box with more spirit. So I know what you're saying, though, in terms of yield versus all other numbers, but I don't think that'll be a really low number unless Nyquist wins, of course.
And then because of the size of the field, and then with the super to take those three and put them with everybody else in a dime super, and we'll try to go against trend. This year, since I think in our 12th annual, I don't know what we advertise it as, but it sounds good, an even dozen, that I normally have just gone outside the box and try to be a little cute and do whatever I can do, but given my age and my lack of success, the word cute shouldn't enter into any of this, so I'm going to go as form might show it, from what we believe is going to be on the pari-mutuels come Saturday, and basically go with the form.
Well, hey, nothing wrong with going Chalky McChalkerson if it's one of those years. I mean, you don't want to be, you know, the hipster who ends up throwing out all these exotic things that you think are supremely undervalued if it's not one of those years. And I think we all kind of got the sense as we were drafting here that the way that the value started to fall apart third round into the fourth round, that this does look like a year that's sort of more weighted to that nomenclature, if you've got it, of the 6-7 horses in there, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, but that it could be horses from that group that end up predominating this year. Again, always a pleasure to bring together what I would call our million-dollar exacto combo of railbirds here in the FDH Lounge, Bob Glassman and Steve Callis. Always a pleasure, fellas. Thanks so much for being on for a part of this. Already looking forward to 2017 and doing this again, but first we got the races, and that's going to be a lot of fun as well.
Great to be with both of you.
Nice to be with you. Go Eli Apple.
A little bit of a reach there, as I'm sure even Steve, you know, would have to admit. No question about it, taking him at 10. But another topic for another day. But thank you all, everybody, for being a part of FDH Lounge mini episode number 724.
Thanks.
For years and years, heating has meant boilers, and boilers have meant breakdowns. Over here and over here. Anything but music to your ears. At Fisher Future Heat, we create state-of-the-art home heating systems that we fit, then you forget, with no annual servicing needed and a huge 10-year guarantee. In short, we engineer common sense. Search Fisher Future Heat today. Fisher Future Heat. The future is electric.